Welcome to the Gatecast.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
We're off to see the wizard.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good evening and welcome to Disc 3 for those of you following along with our Region 1 edition of Series 1. As I've said, this will be out of order from the broadcast or the syndicated version. This is the order as on the disc version. So tonight, myself and my co-host Mike.
Evening, everybody.
We'll be discussing what's listed here as Episode 9, The Torment of Tantalus, which is our first introduction, Mike, to...
Introduction? I don't know. Who was it introducing us to?
Daniel's friend. The Daniel's elderly lady.
Oh, from the movie itself.
Yes.
Oh, right. Sorry, mate. You caught me totally off guard there. Sorry about that.
As you can see, folks, prepared, absolute. You can see the sheer research and preparation that we go into for every episode. You don't see the little dwarves scurrying away and beavering away in the background to make sure that we bring you quality, planned podcasting.
Yeah, if you want that though, you go elsewhere.
Don't go elsewhere. We've got less than 50 listeners. Stay here. Bring your friends. There will be prizes. When we're actually in a point that we're recording less than a month and a half before we release.
Yeah, this episode introduces Catherine Langford to us. She actually was in the Stargate movie itself. She was responsible for bringing Daniel Jackson into Stargate Command. Fans of the movie, she's a recognised character, but not played by the same actress.
Mm-hmm. There isn't anyone played by the same... The only direct transfer, as we discovered during early episodes and some feedback from someone, the only character... I think there are two, actually, but I believe I was proved wrong. The only character who's played by the same actor in the movie as in the TV series is actually Shari's brother... help me out here,
Scarra.
Mike. Scarra, thank you.
Yeah.
Yep, Scarra.
Yeah, the same actor.
I thought Kowalski was the same guy, but apparently it's not. Oh, and a minor spoiler, but in 4 episodes, we'll be coming across one of my personal favourite episodes of Season 1, which is Hathor.
Yeah, pretty good episode.
She's just so uncompromisingly evil.
Everybody likes a bad woman.
God knows I've met a few in my time. However, for those of you who are trying faintly to follow as we talk, I'm pressing play now, and there should be a delay of about... Oh, no delay. Roaring line. Fade in. And we see manual gate operation.
Yep.
In colour.
A little old-fashioned look to it.
Little old-fashioned guy with glasses who I think might be a model for a character played by Robert Picardo. Much, much later.
Yeah, similarities, isn't there?
Interestingly enough, they're standing rather close to the gate.
Well, ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's vaporization of the back half of your body. And here we have... I think, folks, I may put this little exchange with Jack in because it's a wonderful piece of Jackness.
It is, isn't it?
Can we say that?
Yeah, Jackness, that works.
Now we're supposed to be at that physical assessment thing.
Oh, yeah. I'll go. Just, let me finish this reel.
You know, you seem a tad obsessed with this stuff.
This was transferred from film of experiments done on the gate in 1945. You don't find that the least bit intriguing?
Oh, yeah. Nothing piques my interest more than repeated failure.
Look at them. They're turning the gate manually, for God's sake. It's incredible.
How many hours of this stuff have you looked at?
There's no conclusion to the file. There's no summary, no notes, no reason to explain why they gave up.
A whole boxes of material could be missing.
No, the Pentagon said this was everything.
No, please.
Pentagon's lost entire countries.
Come on. Doctors have 2 days of tests planned for us. Wonderful tests.
So we have a...
Daniel seems to have been using some Carter Superhold mousse. His hair looks like it's sculpted plastic off a Lego man figure.
Yeah, we have him watching some old footage then, just released from Pentagon archives. Top secret stuff.
Yes.
So secret that even the SGC didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, things get lost in bureaucracy. I've worked in it for about 18 years, I should know.
Nice little bit of old-time footage, though. You know, the actual music. And we get the old...
That looks like an old-fashioned DVD remote.
Could be, yeah.
Jack's sort of a... What?
Oh, diving belt. Jack Cousteau. Yes,
as the transcript says, Jack's I can't believe it face.
Yeah. In the script, expression number one.
Yes, this is Jack's confuzzled expression. Dramatic Hitchcock zoom.
And there he's gone. And that's been pointed out. Why would the gate shut down if there was a physical object entering the event horizon?
Good point.
But early on in the series, you know, there were still...
Yes, there were still... Yeah. And you said the new version of Children of the Gods addresses the Anubis dialing out without access to gate machinery.
Yeah, they added a little cutscene, so he actually gets some basis for him ordering the gate reopened. It's a little thing, but it seemed to annoy a lot of people over the years.
It annoyed me. It implied that gate travel was two-way.
Yeah, yes it did. And we knew better.
Yes, we did. Maybe it might be an idea just to use the theme music as intro sequence music. I mean, what did you have on?
What, the music I chose?
Mm-hmm.
It was from the soundtrack CD.
Yeah.
Don't ask me which track it was.
Okay, and we fade back in. On Catherine's house.
Yep, the torment of Tantalus.
Yes, Tantalus, of course, being the Greek name for the god of time.
Hello, Martha. Okay, we're introduced to Catherine Langford, played by Elizabeth Hoffman.
It's nice to see older actresses getting work.
Oh, yeah.
But let's not go into Jessica Tandy's nude scene in 83.
Hello. I'm sorry, I hope you don't mind.
How long have you been back? Oh.
Big friends.
Mm-hmm.
Without Catherine, Daniel would probably be a penniless academic.
Yes.
And she's
got somebody risking their life on a weekly basis, condition that General Hammond doesn't actually blow up the base before they get back.
Yeah.
Or indeed after they get back.
And she was wearing the raw amulet, which Daniel had sent back with Jack from the movie.
Colonel O'Neill, Dr. Jackson was supposed to be briefing SG-4 this morning. He's not here, and he's not answering our pages. Any idea where he is?
I haven't seen him in a while, sir.
Where's Daniel? I don't know.
Where's Daniel? No, I don't think Daniel's wearing a red and white stripy top.
Classified, you know.
When did you become an upstanding member of the military?
I'm not. Exactly.
Ooh. The academic bit of a dig there.
Yeah, he works in the most top-secret military operation on the planet, but he's still just academic.
Didn't anyone think I might be interested?
That's why I came.
Now, 6 months later, you could have told me sooner.
Yes. Just like you could have told me there were experiments done on the gate in 1945.
Ooh, come back, Daniel Nasty.
Yeah,
we can't afford long pauses. Sorry?
No, sorry. Meow, you know, the claws came out a bit.
Are we out of sync slightly? I'm at 6 minutes and 15.
6:17, 6:18, 6:19.
Yeah, okay. We're in sequence. Yes, folks. That's not a digression. It's more of a geek aggression.
We get the two of them now back and forth, basically both revealing what the others didn't know. Experiments on the gate, people going through the gate.
Military had very little use for a 21-year-old girl at that time. Neither did my father.
Ah, sexism.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, Ernest.
I'm sorry, who's Ernest.
The music cutting in.
Yes, the sad, the swell of sad music, a little violin strings, and yeah, we should have had the shimmery effect there.
Yeah. Or the Wayne's World Ridley lines.
Yes, I'm. She does not look 21.
And do you recognise him?
Wasn't he one of the MID guys from about season 5?
No. He was in Atlantis.
As?
Carson Beckett. The Doctor. What? That's Paul McGillion.
The Scottish guy?
Yes.
He doesn't have a Scottish accent there.
Well, he was born in Scotland but raised in Canada. And he does an accent. His real voice is Canadian. His real accent.
Fantastic. We're having a blast. We really are.
I see.
I didn't recognise him at first either.
Well, no, the hair is completely different.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's about 10 years younger.
Yeah, yes, he is.
Yeah, he's aged badly.
You were a bit forward back then.
Yes, quite. We're making moralistic judgments. Oh, yes, Victorian society.
Do you know how many administrations I had to petition to get this program started up again? 40 years had passed. The information was classified and buried.
Sorry, I didn't sleep a great deal last night and I have to pack for Germany tomorrow, folks, because I'm heading off to a Discworld convention, which is completely non-Stargate related, apart from the fact that it's sort of flat and circular.
You don't know that they turned the gate on in 1945.
What?
Right,
so we're seeing a lot of flashbacks here with Ernest discussing probabilities of...
Yeah, with Catherine's father, who was the guy who found the Stargate in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And he's very sort of 40s. He's sitting there with the pipe.
Yeah, the cardigan and pipe.
Anyone who passes through there will die.
Oh, sorry, the actress playing young Catherine looks way over 21. In fact, we can peg this as probably being filmed in 1997 or so.
Be around then.
And you normally drop in actresses' names like little pebbles of information. Why didn't you mention this one?
I didn't actually look up the young actress.
I see. I'm on the wiki. It's got the transcript, but it doesn't seem to...
Nice. Another nice cut. I actually do some very nice photography in this episode.
I never knew they turned it on. My father never told me. It wasn't in his notes either.
Then there's something more you should see.
Oh, VHS. Brilliant.
Yay, VHS. I remember VHS. In fact, until just before I moved to where I am now.
Oh, God.
I actually had VHS still functioning.
Yeah, I've got a player somewhere in the house. You never know, it might make a return.
There was an accident today. An explosion in the lab.
Oh, they told her he was killed in an explosion.
Oh, that's good of him. Why not run away and join the Navy or something, you know, should they put the knife in?
So the man who went through the gate is Ernest.
Yes. My father must have lied to me. He said Ernest died in an accident. An explosion.
Poor Ernest. Maybe drop this one in?
Yeah, it's a nice, subtle little couple of lines.
With,
chose to risk his life and go through the Stargate without even talking to me about it.
Sort of appropriately emotive music.
He chose his idea, his work, over me.
It's surprising she never married, though. I mean, you can say it's a strange look back at that time, but you'd think a single woman back then would have remarried.
Like a lot of the good episodes, this was written by one of our two sort of co-creators.
Yep.
Robert C. Cooper, and directed by a guy who did a fair number of episodes, I think, Jonathan Glasner.
Yep. Who Brad Wright has quite a few things to say about in the Children of the Gods commentary.
Not keen on the man?
Some basic differences of opinions, I think.
Well, Hollywood has a lot of large egos.
Yeah. I think you get upset when you get overruled more than you win.
Not Abydos?
No, another planet with similar coordinates. And we can go there.
So Danny's got the gate address.
Yeah, Danny's figured out the gate address. And somehow Danny, on a classified...
Who authorized you to reveal classified information to a civilian?
That's it. You tell him, General. Smack him.
These rules exist for a reason, Doctor.
Because I was thinking, oh, you just casually... How did she even get onto the bloody base?
Yeah. Look at
them. I mean, why is he going mad in front of her? Why isn't he going mad at Daniel while Daniel's asking permission to get her onto the base?
Especially when she's behind Daniel grinning.
Yeah.
Colonel, did you authorize Dr. Jackson to reveal classified information to this civilian?
Absolutely not, sir. In fact, I advise him not to say anything to her. Despite the fact that she used to run the entire program and is responsible for most of our current knowledge about the gate.
Yep, Jack washes his hands.
That little piece of Jackness is definitely gone. Folks, we have this little quote from Jack here.
Daniel's told me all about you.
You don't actually need to edit this one. I will edit it next week.
Are you aware of the request Dr. Jackson has most currently tabled? You gotta go that one step further, don't you?
Where's Sam?
Yeah, she'll turn up in a bit.
You know what I think? I think she's had to go off and get another supply to a different planet, get another supply of Carter Super Hold Moose because Daniel used it up.
Yeah.
So she's off world, one of the other SG teams, risking life and limb of fellow members so she gets her Super Moose. Which obviously General Hammond objects to most strongly given the fact that the man doesn't actually have any hair. But
yeah, it's a bit touchy.
Oh, there, Sam.
Sir, there may be another reason to go to this planet.
And she knows Catherine as well. Everybody knows Catherine.
Well, Samantha did work on the gate for years post Abydos.
Yeah, but the way Catherine was talking, you'd think it like she'd been cut out of it not long after the original mission. She was probably using the notes, maybe, but not to worry.
Well, her hair is twitching slightly.
If the Goulds haven't been to this planet and there is obviously a gate there, then we would have unquestionable proof that they didn't originally build the Stargates.
The Goa'uld are scavengers. Since they have not traveled to this planet, we may find technologies we can use against them.
Tuk's managed to get his first lie in 15 minutes into the episode. He just sits there looking broody.
You speak.
I can see that. Today, what's his name again? Shit, I have it. It's on the tip of my tongue. You're looking up, aren't you?
I don't know, who are you talking about?
I'm sure our listeners are screaming the Teok actor name at me.
Oh, Chris George.
Yes, Chris George. Today, Chris, we've got some real work for you today, Chris. Today, we'd like to sit in the briefing room, look broody, and not say anything. Yeah.
Actor's dream.
Chris Judge does the rolling the eyes thing. Yeah, I got a question. Given the amount of equipment they can lift, frankly, I'd just sit in the bloody thing.
Yeah.
Yay, ride the mouth.
Well, you've got the remote control, haven't you? Just put some steering wheel on it and be done with it.
Yeah, it looks like a Wii remote. So I presume they sent the mouth through earlier.
Yep.
Because we're going to realise the severe level of screw-up here in about 5 seconds. It says, I think if memory serves, we actually get a... No, we don't. Sorry. Oh, we do? Now, why did it show it sideways? What was the point? I'm sure someone somewhere, and please contact us if you have... has done a comparative correlation between the amount of apparent time spent in gate travel and the actual distance to the planets mentioned and drawn a map and seen if it's consistent.
Nerd alert!
It's a science fiction show. I guarantee you somebody has done that. We are geeks. We are that inly retentive.
We're in a... old castle-like structure.
Interesting point, though. Isn't the DHD a remarkably large distance from the gate?
You're
appears to be only two doorways.
The building may have been built for a purpose, you know, symmetrical. And they needed a... I don't know.
Oh my.
I suppose it makes it easier to put into, into process what happens later in the episode.
Mm-hmm. Why the mouth? But the mouth is a six-wheel thing, and I assume it can go up a flight of stairs.
No, I think it's four wheels.
Did we all honestly expect your man to be alive?
To be honest, no.
But it would have made a rather short episode, otherwise.
Yeah, it would. Come through and find a little skeleton draped across the DHD. And the guy's hairy.
He thinks he's imagining things.
Yeah.
Well, he's been there for 50 years. Of course he thinks he's imagining things.
Hello, I'm Daniel Jackson. We just came through the Stargate. Yes, that thing, the Stargate. Real.
give me a little poke.
Now, I'll be honest with you. Given that he's probably in his 70s now, the shock of meeting someone... Well, hey, I'd like to know what he's been eating. But...
he's hugging jumps out of the way.
Yes. My George is giving the rise. Yeah, Sam, Sam not got the hell out of the way. Sam did not want to be hugged by a naked old guy.
You don't recognize me. Catherine?
I bet she's thinking, damn, I was kind of hoping he'd be a bit more spry the first time I saw him naked.
Hmm. 50 years. That's all he has to say.
So somehow he does recognise her.
You always recognise the ones you love.
Oh. Now off he goes. Bless him.
Well, you have to allow for a certain degree of eccentricity after 50 years on his own. It's not like he's, picked up a lot of social graces here. And then we have the castle, a bit of which blow away in a strong wind. And something which absolutely fascinates Daniel. We're really emphasising Daniel as scientist here. Can we say this is a Daniel episode with some strongish roles from supporting cast, but definitely a Daniel episode?
I would say so, yeah.
Still here.
Do you have anything to wear? Clothes?
Going home.
Yes, we're taking you home.
Yes, he's still naked. Sort of friendly piece of music. The remnants of the suit.
Yep, just covers the important bits.
The important bits are from the neck up, pal.
Well, in terms of the TV sensors, nah.
Yes.
Even Showtime won't go this far, though. That far. They know their audience.
Really? Showtime went that far in the pilot.
Like I said, they know their audience. They know certain things the audience will like, certain things the audience won't.
So, naked Sherry, good. Naked, ugly old guy, bad.
Bad. It's a terrible world we live in, but they are that is the truth.
I don't know what I expected. I mean, I can't believe he's right here. Light years away, but still so close all this time. Alive!
He's kind of forgotten how to talk, I think.
Yeah.
And here we have a rather worried Sam going, sir? Has she actually, I presume she's noticed that the HD is screwed?
Not yet.
She stood right beside it! How blind is she?
This is more interesting than a bit of girl talk.
Yeah, well, how often does she get... I mean, like, aside from Dr. Fraser, how many women does she deal with on a day-to-day basis? Apart from the average sort of a marine grunt. Who is going to discuss practical physics. I'm sure she feels a certain kinship with Catherine.
Well, they're both very independent, intelligent women.
And single.
single.
I'd like to see a TV movie where Sam and Jack get married.
Oh, dear.
Oh, come on, they danced around each other for the entire series.
It could be in a totally different movie. Something like from the Hallmark Channel or something. Don't have to be a Stargate movie.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. I mean, you've seen Daniel and his missus in enough movies.
I have.
Four distinct languages. Writing is unlike anything on Earth. Catherine says they're probably alien.
Catherine says?
I dare say many people have watched the movies. Just pointing out that...
Who is Daniel married to? Oh, do you mean Sherry or do you mean...
No, I mean
Michael Shanks' actual wife.
His real wife.
Who is Michael Shanks married to?
What's her name? She was in Andromeda. And she played the Doctor in Stargate Season 10.
Oh, the short, cute one.
The short, cute one?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember her name now.
No, but I know who you mean, the short, cute one.
Yeah.
Answers on a written email, please.
We walked for miles today and still found no signs of civilization. Catherine seems concerned, but I am not.
So Ernest is showing Daniel his notes from these past years.
And the fact that he's gone completely...
Well, he's basically retained his sanity by going insane.
Yes. Hallucinating himself as completely sane, which is something that a surprisingly large number of people do.
Yeah. I think that was in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy as well.
It was in... what did I start to read there? Oh, yes, it was in The Truth by Terry Pratchett.
Yeah.
In reference to the Bursar.
Well, Ford Prefect imagined himself to be a piece of lemon, and kept jumping in and out of a lake, pretending it were a gin and tonic.
Yes. That were in Life, the Universe, and Everything.
One of the four books of the trilogy.
It was the third one, and there were five books.
Was there five books? Funny,
yeah, there
five.
Was one called Mostly Harmless.
Well, that's what happens when you buy a book before you stop writing the damn thing.
It keeled over.
That's got nothing to do with it. That castle looks precarious. Incredibly good or bad timing, depending upon your point of view.
Yeah, it's quite.
I don't think this place could withstand another big hit.
We should take our leave.
No, we can't. Not yet. I mean, we've only begun to explore this place, figure out what it is, what it used to be.
We launched a survey balloon. Now let's take the professor and Catherine home. We'll leave the probe here, let it monitor the situation till the storm blows over, and then we'll come back, all right?
I tried for years to make it work.
You never tried entering different glyphs in this thing?
But they have a stormy season. Why should that be surprising?
Bits of the castle are missing.
Well, some seem very surprised that they had a storm season every year.
We call this the dial home device. Basically, you enter the correct address and then...
Daniel, why don't we just show him?
Okay, that's... Daniel, let's speak simply to the daft man who doesn't know what he's got. Bit patronizing.
Oh my God.
What the hell? I thought the probe was supposed to detect stuff like this.
We got visual confirmation of its presence, but the damage was obviously concealed.
So next time, have a look around the back.
That's why you never came back.
So it doesn't work. Pressing different files, Sam, isn't going to do something.
Does this mean we're not going home?
So now I think they'll decide to construct, and this is the first instance in the series of an attempt at manual dialing. If you don't count the one where they actually dialed out.
Yeah.
And we've got a castle, we've got a storm, we've got lightning.
We've got light rocks.
Sorry? Yes, we've got very light rocks. Or a remarkably strong jack.
She's got a circuit tester. Yeah.
Can you say the Frankenstein doll?
The Frankenstein doll?
Yes. They've got lightning, yeah. The lightning strikes the gate. They dial.
It can be attached to electrodes to TLC.
Alive!
They could do his metal emblem. Fire him up.
It's got, well, I suppose gold is actually quite conductive.
Keep at it. We'll be back.
What is this place?
I believe this room is some sort of meeting place where four alien races, denoted by the symbols and distinctive writing on the walls, would gather, possibly to share knowledge or discuss relations like a United Nations of the Stars.
Catherine agrees.
You're right. I would have.
All roads seem to lead here, which means this is likely the power source.
I believe you are correct.
Now, in subsequent series, I would think that Sam would look at that and say, well, maybe I can remove some crystals from this and use it to repair the DHD.
This looks familiar. Touch it.
Matron, please, I'm not that kind of doctor.
I say, first we've got to let Daniel get obsessed with this.
Yes. So obsessed, in fact, that he doesn't want to leave.
It's beautiful.
Daniel, does this mean anything?
Well, if this was a mecca of sorts, an alien United Nations, this has to mean something.
I know this.
Of course. High school chemistry.
One proton, one electron. Hydrogen.
Beryllium. Sodium.
Silver. Iron. Barium. Xenon.
Oh, my God. So many electrons. How can you tell?
I've been here a very long time, remember?
There's an idea.
I'm trying to connect the power source from the dial home device directly into the gate. I'm about to run a test. Here's Daniel.
Now, do you think Tilk understood that, or he was just listening politely?
Is this the Tilk equivalent of smile and nod? Which reminds me, since we're on a Tilk mode. Nope. Still zero, now 0 for 9 on the Indeed count.
Daniel, does this mean anything?
Nice little bit of CGI here.
Well, not necessarily.
I think it looks nice.
No, not necessarily CGI.
Oh. Well, these days I consider CGI to be everything from optical effects upwards.
It could be an actual hologram.
Okay, you got me there.
I don't know if technology existed to do it that sophisticatedly in 97. I know when I was in Edinburgh about 4 or 5 years ago. And also, actually, it did, because when I was in Florida in 2000, I saw large 3D color holograms at Universal Studios.
No, they actually spike the drinks before you go in.
Like. Are we digressing, folks? If we are complaining, leave voicemails. Even if they're bad voicemails, give us feedback. Please.
And so the guys figure out that this room or this building is a location for a meeting point for separate alien species.
You'd have thought four languages. These aforesaid four separate alien species would actually have perhaps ensured that the place worked and didn't fall down. I mean, it's not as if they probably didn't have technology that was capable of supporting it.
Like I say, there's a lot we don't know at this time, and a lot we never learn about the four major races.
Well, I think we meet three of them, but let's not go any further than that.
Daniel, before your head explodes, I'm going to remind you that we've got more important things to deal with right now.
How can you say that? Don't you know what this could mean?
Yes, Jack. Here we come back to an essential dichotomy of the thing. We have the argument of Daniel, the sort of scientist, the explorer, the dreamer. I mean, this is a man who postulated and risked his entire academic career on, a chance.
Yeah.
Alien spaceships landing on pyramids. And we have Jack, the pragmatic military man, going, this place is falling to bits around us. We need to go.
Yeah. It's probably a good job they bought that extra vehicle with all the kit on.
It's the MALP that always comes.
No, they took two vehicles through. The MALP came through the gate and parked on the left.
Hmm.
That vehicle with all the kit on parked on the right.
Hmm.
Trying to connect the power source from the dial home device directly into the gate. I'm about to run a test. Where's Daniel?
Oh, Ernest was showing him a new toy.
Really? What?
Some fancy light show that may be the key to our existence or something like that.
I must say, Ernest, I like what you're doing with the place. I think it overloads and sparks.
Duh, blown it.
Bugger. There goes the fuse.
Not so clever, no. I thought you were going to smack her then and start shaking her about. Fix it, woman.
Oh, light rocks. Come on, Jack was tossing around rocks. Things five times that size earlier. Well, there goes the DHD. And we mean nice. Goes.
Nice. That's a very nice hole.
There's a large hole. For those of you not watching, there's a large hole in the floor.
With a nice big fan blowing up through it for dramatic effect.
Yep. I don't think Ernest has grasped the idea that other races exist.
No.
This is how you knew what this place was.
Then you recognize it too.
Othala, the Norse ruin thought to represent the collection of numinous power and knowledge from past generations.
The gathering of clans to share a common interest. You know, there's more than just a coincidence here. That means that humans were here centuries, maybe eons ago.
Not humans, aliens. This is Thor's race.
Thor was an alien?
Oh yeah, that's another long story. But good one.
Another long story.
Yes, it did. Daniel,
I gotta say, you got talent for understatements. A long story, you think? Frankenstein time!
We have the Stargate. We need the dial home device.
Thank you, Teal'c.
I gotta drop that one in. Purely.
Cracking line, that is.
Oh, that's just Teal'c sort of going. Let's summarize the situation in the most concise way possible.
So what we need is energy.
Cue convenient peal of thunder. I realize it's an audio dramatic effect, but technically thunder doesn't really contain energy. Thunder simply presages lightning. Although not vice versa. Yes, you see, I'm going to throw in odd, obscure, polysyllable words purely to encourage you to go and look them up and expand your vocabulary. Gatecast, the podcast that educates as well as informs.
Or tries to.
I can't help it if I have an obscenely huge vocabulary.
You measured the element's distance from the central point. degrees from zero round in a circle and height above the floor.
And so we see here what Ernest has been doing all this time.
Mm-hmm. Studying this.
Very complex method of identifying individual symbols and letters.
What's up, guys?
Step away from the pedestal, Daniel.
What's up, guys? They mean business. Look, they're serious, Daniel.
They want to destroy.
So what are we going to do?
That thing may have a power source in it that we can use to get the gate working.
No.
Can't you tell?
Yes. So how are we going to open it?
Yeah,
we're going to use the staff weapon.
Yes, this is such a subtle device for opening things.
Yes, why not simply try and unscrew the bastard thing? I mean, if it works and it's closed, then logically...
It's probably got a little hatch that you can open and pull the crystal out.
There's probably written in four languages, no user serviceable parts inside.
Yeah, warranty voided if removed.
I got told that I bought a PS3, folks. I got told that I could install a larger hard disk, but if I did, I'd void my warranty.
Who told you that?
Well, by installing a larger hard disk, I have to unseal it.
Well, the hard bay drive is made to be user accessible. You can just undo a little flap on the side and pull the bay out, put a new drive in, and slot it back in.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. See?
Not that I actually need one. But anyway, that's severe digression, folks. But bear in mind, recording this episode on the 11th of August? Yes, Tuesday the 11th of August.
And edited on the 24th of September.
Before I wander off to Germany to drink German beer with Germans.
Yes, and dress up as wizards. But not Harry Potter wizards.
Heavens no. Pratchett good. Potter bad. If that doesn't get feedback, nothing will.
How do we attract lightning to strike the gate?
Well, not directly. We'll have to rig something up on the roof and hope that the sudden and enormous charge doesn't destroy the gate's mechanisms.
They really don't know much about Nakuda at this stage, do they?
No.
And the ability of the thing to store massive amounts of energy.
They know the basics. Exactly how it works is still kind of in a grey area. But this was Jack's idea, wasn't it? This was Jack's idea to do the Ben Franklin bit.
Well, no, I mean, was it Jack's idea to do the Ben Franklin bit? I mean, Carter just said...
The torment of Tantalus.
What?
Tantalus was a king in Greek mythology, banished to Hades, forced to stand in water that receded when he tried to drink.
Everlasting, unending temptation.
He was reaching for something that was out of reach.
That sounds familiar.
Oh, Greek mythology. Sorry.
Yeah, this is the educational bit in this episode.
Yes. Maybe drop this one in too. It's interesting.
Good scene. It is.
There's some going. We're certainly seeing a spike as the season goes on. We're seeing much, much better episodes. They're really finding their voice as things go on, and I mean, we've had some dodgy episodes. First Commandment being, I think, one of them. But I'm looking at this disc, and I'm looking at the episodes ahead. Okay, Fire and Water is not great. But the other three, you're getting huge amounts of backstory and establishment. And the point is, you're setting so much stuff up, but at the same time, through exploring the characters, you're actually learning stuff.
You have to come. Now.
Not yet.
Come and get me when we've got the gate running.
There isn't enough time. I have to finish this.
And so here we get Daniel really obsessive about this repository of knowledge, yet seems to totally forget the very reason he's in the SG-1.
Mm-hmm.
He's willing to risk his life, his wife, just to...
Other things ending in life.
It's in character, but it doesn't seem to make much sense.
Maybe in a way... I mean, if we lose someone we care about, speaking from personal recent experience, you try and distract yourself from it.
Let's go, Teal! Start dialing in! We may only have seconds once the gate is open.
More dust.
As a point of interest, what is that metal?
Come on, boys, we gotta go now.
I'm staying.
What the cabling they've got?
Yeah. What is the cabling that they've
I imagine it would just plain steel.
Plain steel would melt.
Could all be lost. If I stay, I could unbury the gate again.
What if the gate falls into the ocean?
I am willing to take that risk.
I'm not. Let's go.
Jack!
I assume it's part of the winching system they've got on the buggy. That seems a standard operating kit.
Now, is this the point? There's another one I might drop in where Ernest persuades him. Oh, no, he's actually persuaded himself. But you will seek to distract yourself.
Let's go! It's a piece of cake.
Not from what I remember.
Go!
Piece of cake.
Memory serves, Daniel and Jack come through just as the ceiling collapses.
Yep,
we have the dramatic slow motion sort of...
You can see him being hit by rocks that should be breaking bones.
Here's an interesting point. Given that it cut off on the way out, why didn't it cut off on the way back?
Yes.
I do actually have a theory.
Go on then.
Although, didn't Sam say in a subsequent episode that the wormhole itself maintains the power?
In what way?
I mean, it's possible that the reason it didn't stay stable, it didn't stay stable long in the other place when they dialed out because they didn't feed it enough power.
Yeah.
And again, the lightning strike probably fed it a lot more power.
Yeah, it had enough power to fill the capacitors, but there was no secondary source of power.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the many little inconsistencies of gate travel.
No, I think it actually makes sense. I can sort of make sense of it. The point being that... whereas they could maintain a wormhole from this end, because they could feed power to it continuously.
Yeah.
In our modern gate, in 1945 gate, they couldn't.
That's right.
They got it to dial, and you know, he said charge for every chevron.
Yeah.
So there's enough there to keep it open for a little while, and shortly after he went through, perhaps the power necessary to translate someone through.
Yeah.
Used up whatever was left in the capacitors.
So
and coming back, they had a lightning strike which charged up the gate long enough to keep it open for a while, but it started to destabilize because it was running out of power.
Yeah.
And once Daniel and Jack went through, it sort of drained whatever power was left because it cut off literally microseconds after Jack went through.
Yeah, so whatever safety protocols were there were totally ignored because there literally wasn't any power.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried to hold itself open as long as it could. Probably just long enough to translate the thing through and then poof.
Well, at times, it looks like the gate's got a mind of its own anyway. Sometimes it seems to know exactly when to shut down and when to stay open.
Well, I would imagine when you dial out, once the last team member has gone through and is on the other side, they cut power.
Yeah, but that also happens when there isn't, when they're not operating from the SGC.
Well, maybe there's a failsafe built in if nobody goes through after a certain period.
Yeah.
The HD switches off.
About 2 seconds sometimes. Anyway, a discussion for another episode, I'm sure.
Yes. Gate mechanics.
Yeah.
We need Rodney McKay. Or should that be Rodney McKay?
Just Rodney.
I always thought Rodney should be said with a sort of Scottish accent.
It'd work. So,
company.
Yeah. Talking to Tantalus.
That was Myth of Tantalus. Quite a good episode. I enjoyed it. I'm quite happily. I mean, as I'm watching these again, on the rare occasions I do actually watch them before we record, didn't have to this time because it's an episode I do actually remember very well because I have seen it more than once.
I say, speaks highly of it that you've it's one you have watched more than once.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a slight at you, by the way.
No, it's just to explain, folks, I have roughly between DVDs and stored MPEGs of things, about 3,500 hours of stuff to look at. Ergo, the fact that I would watch an episode twice speaks a lot for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to check mail. Why don't you see what you can dig up news-wise on the new Atlantis movie? So those who are concerned about spoilers can skip the next minute or two, because Mike, I've just put Mike on the spot now, haven't I?
Well, you have put me on the spot, because as far as I know, the new Atlantis movie is still in post, in pre-production.
You see, I was reading Death Ray, the one that came out on the 14th of July. It's a magazine I do recommend for science fiction fans.
Yeah. Never heard of it.
Sorry?
I've never heard of it.
It's bi-monthly. It's by a crowd called Blackfish Publishing. And no, they don't sponsor us. Although, if any of them are listening and they'd like to sponsor us...
Death Ray.
If you Google, you should come up with something.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's an interview with the girl who plays Talia.
Oh, yeah.
In Atlantis. In it this month, about the upcoming Atlantis movie.
Yeah, Gate Ward have had a couple of interviews and talked to some of the cast about it. As far as I know, there's nothing more concrete than no greenlit for the start shooting time.
The other thing, of course, is we have Stargate Universe, the new series.
Yep, it's looking good.
Which I had heard rumours may contain the Good Doctor. As in the man who plays young Ernest in this episode.
Oh, Paul McGillion. He might be a guest character. I haven't actually seen him. He hasn't been featured in trailers or anything.
He hasn't? No. Has anyone?
Have you seen any of the trailers yet?
No, I have not watched any of the trailers yet. But, I mean, interesting point about Stargate Universe. They seem to have taken the Voyager approach. Or the Farscape approach, depending on where you think came up with the idea, as in... They're off in some far-flung corner of the universe, possibly trying to get home.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue from a science fiction perspective, that goes right back to Space 1999.
Yeah, you could probably even further on some shows we've never even heard of.
Probably some Jules Verne stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, if you haven't seen any of the trailers to Stargate Universe, you should really do so. The show looks like it's going to be good. Totally different look and feel to Atlantis and SG-1.
One would imagine a completely different dialing noise.
Totally different gate. Third generation gate.
Ooh, third generation gate.
Yeah.
No, the only thing in the feedback email is spam. Spam, 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 spam. Sorry. Brief digression into Mighty Python there. Ooh, no, that's interesting.
I say, as always, stargate.ngm.com is the portal for all things Stargate, Atlantis, SG-1 and Universe.
And, of course... gatecast.phasecast.com or www.gatecast.co.cc is our own portal to things Stargate and episodes on the rare occasions that we actually publish one. I'm embarrassed now, folks, to be honest with you. It's been about 3 weeks since that's been thrown up. So hopefully between my wonderful, happily edited co-host and my Mike here and our web monkey Scott, something should be up this Sunday, being the... Actually, to be honest with you, if it's all possible, as soon as the blasted thing is edited,
I probably won't be watching the England friendly tomorrow night, so I might do it then. Yeah. England are playing tomorrow night, but it's a friendly, so I probably won't watch that.
I see. Oh, soccer.
Football.
Yes, soccer.
Football.
No, football is played with 15 people and the ball that you can pick up.
Rubbish.
It's an old argument, folks. On that note, I'm going to sign off. I was going to... Hang on. That's what I was going to do. That's why I opened. I wanted to see when we did actually publish episode 5. And it's not actually as long as I thought. I think it's just over 2 weeks. It's July 26th.
That's not terrible.
which was Sunday 2 weeks ago. So, see if we can get something up this week.
Smash it.
Amelia Banks. Who's Amelia Banks?
Amelia Banks?
Yes.
Doesn't ring a bell.
He's put Scott the Web Monkey put an RSS feed from Gatewald.
Oh yeah.
On the website, and it says Amelia Banks headed to Smallville.
Don't know if that's good or bad. Was she in that vampire film?
Stargate Atlantis actress Sharon Taylor. Taylor played Amelia Banks, an Atlantis gate technician.
Oh yeah, of course. She was the karate woman, wasn't she? The one that caught Ronan's eye.
Hmm.
Yeah, tall, very athletic.
I see.
Oh yes. Only appeared in the last half dozen episodes of Atlantis, but actually got a speaking part.
Anyway, our voicemail number is still 206-350-5639. That's 206-350-5639. Email gatecast@phasecast.com. There's also a contact us form on the website. You can leave comments on any published episodes, etc., etc., etc. Sorry, I'm heading to Germany in less than 48 hours. My brain is concerned with packing.
You're halfway there already, aren't you?
Well, I drink a lot of voice beer, so yes. My liver's halfway there and is crying at the thought of another Discworld convention. I've been Alan. And
I've been Mike.
It's good night from me.
Good night from him.
Bye-bye.
Good night. You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike. Technical support from Scott. Visit Gatecast at gatecast.co.cc.